How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And we are closing out our Crypt Picks month, celebrating and highlighting some of our favorite movies from our upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt. Actually, I think by the time this episode comes out, it's available. It's in stores right now.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, that's right. Over the last, we've been working on this book for a while now, but we put together a cocktail recipe book with 60 terrifying cocktails inspired by your favorite horror movies.
59 plus a song. 59. And I bet you know what song it is.
Yeah, we lobbied hard for that song. It was a good little sneaky pick. throughout this month, we've been talking about A Nightmare on Elm Street. We've been talking about The Exorcist, The Witch. So there's been we've been talking about some prestige horror.
A lot of classy horror. Nightmare on Elm Street. A lot of, really elite picks.
And we're going back to basics here this week. We're talking about the B-movie masterpiece, Chopping Mall.
I am just absolutely so happy that we got Chopping Mall in the book and we have a whole B-movie chapter.
One of the best chapters of the book.
It is so good. The photos are maybe my favorite of the bunch. We had so much fun with them. We went real campy, real bright and colorful and crazy. And this cocktail for Chopping Mall, the Killbot Kamikaze, is one of my favorites from the book. It's a showstopper of a cocktail.
Oh yeah, well one, it's delicious. Two, it looks so fucking cool. And like every cocktail in this chapter, it is pure maximalism. We've got some classy drinks, We've got somewhere it's like, ooh, just a little bit of fog rolling in on an evening.
I thought you were gonna be
light.
Like, just whiskey in a cup.
No. But the B-movie Madness chapter is just an explosion of color and Easter eggs and references. In fact, we'll tell you all about the cocktail at the end of the episode, but we actually secretly recreated the poster for Chopping Mall in the background of this drink.
It was like a no-brainer when we were doing, okay, so we need to do some B-movies, we need to pick some really great gems, particularly 80s, and Chopping Mall was way up there on our list. Like, we had to do a Chopping Mall because it's just such a fun movie. Mm-hmm. It's got everything you love out of a slasher, but then it's got that computerized futuristic twist.
Oh man, there was an era where as long as lightning struck something, it went evil. Fuck yeah.
And there's always like a big computer room for it. Like there's a big control room behind the scenes.
A user manual that's thicker than a phone book.
And some guy eating a burger that drips ketchup on the computer board.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Obviously, we're big fans of classy horror movies like The Witch and The Exorcist. But, in our bones, the movies that we respond to the most are big crowd-pleasing movies like Chopping Mall. You've probably seen Chopping Mall. If you haven't, you are missing out. You gotta cross this one off the watch list. And three good things about Chopping Mall, as always. Number one, one of the best exploding heads in the biz. You gotta call it out when it comes.
And it's early on in the movie. Right? You don't have to wait very long for this head.
Nah. What's good thing number two?
Good thing number two is a Kelly Maroney and Barbara Crampton team up.
Right.
They are waitresses who are working together at the pizzeria in the mall. You know, they join the group for the after hours hangout. But I just love seeing those two together. And they're like young, fresh-faced, young actresses on the scene.
Uh-huh.
I just love seeing them hang out and they're putting their lipstick on together. And they're like complaining about the chef and the weird patrons of the pizza shop.
I know. Like, of everybody.
I want to hang out with them.
Of everybody in the movie, they feel like real characters.
Yes.
Right? Everybody else is a bit of a caricature, but you're like, man, I hope these girls make it out. One of them does. R.I.P. one of them. And good thing number three, this movie, there is something special.
Lasers, John.
Lasers. Okay.
Say it. It's
I was like, can
lasers.
I just say killer robots? It's lasers. It's also lasers in a really kitschy, gaudy 80s mall. Don't you love an 80s mall?
I do love an 80s mall. And the lasers are pink. Pink and
they knew
neon
what they
green.
Had. They knew what they had when they made this movie.
Wonderful. It's just right to have pink lasers shooting through a mall.
Yeah, if you happen to have a cool movie theater in your area and that does retro screenings of movies like this, you absolutely have to go see Chopping Mall with an audience. This movie always plays, and it's almost 40 years old now, and people are still going crazy for it. Like, this is art. This is what movie making is made for. Cinema peaked in 1986 with Chopping Mall.
People listening to this podcast for the first time are like, ew. What are they talking about?
Oh, as a new security system, completely mobile, user-friendly, and absolutely fail-safe. But something is going wrong.
There's another one of those things out there.
We need to pick us up one by one!
He ain't getting me.
All right, Chopping Mall is currently sitting at a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 55% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not for the critics.
Wow, the audience rating is 39%.
Or the audience.
God damn. It also has a 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd, but everybody I follow on Letterboxd seems to be giving it at least 4 stars.
They're like, 5, perfect.
Yeah. This movie's trash. I love
it. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Man, half the reviews on Letterboxd are like, I loved it. So great. Thank you. Have a nice day. Good on this movie for coming out before RoboCop. That was my biggest question when we were rewatching it last night.
So this is the original RoboCop.
This is the original RoboCop. Because there's a sequence.
Robo Rent-A-Cop.
Damn, that's a good alternate title. The original title for this movie was Killbots, which frankly I think is a better title.
But Chopping Mall is a phenomenal title.
It sells the tone.
Killbots
right?
is also a good title.
Killbots, I think, is, it sounds like it's taking itself too seriously, maybe.
Yeah.
Chopping Mall is Killbots. Like, hey, we know we're fun. This yeah. is going to be a good time.
Chopping Mall is like, it's teens getting beheaded in a mall, even though there's no knives in this movie at all. It's all laser deaths.
Lots of lasers. There's also just like stun guns that they use to murder people.
Yeah, they have like a taser system.
Uh-huh.
They also have lasers. Is that it? Oh, they got their little clamp hands.
They got their little clamp. So it's a new security protocol that they're introducing into the mall.
It's the first night and shit goes haywire.
Yeah.
They did a lot of rigorous testing.
We open with a sort of instructional video introducing the business owners of the mall to these kill, let's call them killbots. That's they do not arrest anyone. They just kill.
Yeah, they're like protectors. 657 or something.
Yeah, the Protectors? Come on. You could have come up with a better name.
Well, they're like, we need something that's going to, you know, calm the people's minds.
Uh-huh.
They do have clamp hands and tasers. What brings to mind protection? Protectors!
Yeah! for certain, when they were spitting names at, somebody was like, I think we should just call them Killbots. Like, okay, Killbots is good, but we can't do it. And then just, like, for months, weeks, like, we're getting Chinese takeout, we're staying late, the room's filled with smoke, like, oh, we gotta get something other than Killbots. Nobody's gonna buy a Killbot. Like, fine, just put Protector down, let's get the fuck out of here. Nobody seems happy about these robots.
Well, there's just that couple in the front who are just, like, riffing horribly.
It's bad, and it makes me real sad because it's Paul Bartel and you know, like in the movie, it's supposed to be this guy and his wife who own a restaurant. Paul Bartel and Mary Warrenove. Paul Bartel's a great filmmaker.
All right, John.
He's also the camp counselor in Piranha.
Okay.
At this time, they'd made a movie called Eating Raoul, which is a very funny movie. But
it's such a weird duo to have as a weird Easter egg.
Yeah. The way they're highlighted, you'd think they're a comedy duo that everybody knows.
Well, yeah. And the fact that they don't show up in the rest of the movie, you're like, why?
At all.
Why did we have to watch that couple so much?
Why do they make nothing but bad jokes? They're not good. And like, you get it. Like, there's a beat to it where this is supposed to be comedic relief. It is supposed to put everybody head over heels laughing. Is that the phrase? Everybody's laughing. They're not. No one is. Except for that one line where he's like, the robots remind me of your mother. It's the laser eyes. That's the one good line. Everything else, trash. And this is where I think Killbots would have been a better title, because they're like, all right, everybody, these go online Friday night and nothing could go wrong. And then the title card comes across the robot, says Chopping Mall. But if it said Killbots.
Yeah, no, that would have been great.
That is the one time it would have been better.
They should have done one of those. We changed the title on the poster, but not in the movie.
Oh, that would have been good.
Dealios.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with that.
Mm-hmm. These robots are great. I love the design. They look so stupid. Like, they look like 1986.
And they move like 1 mile per hour. And there's so many scenes where characters are running away. And then we have to cut just to like their little conveyor belt legs.
Yeah.
Because if you hold too long on the person running away from the robot moves so slow and unintimidatingly.
I know. They could have gone the other route, right? Where it's like Jason Voorhees, where it's coming at you slow, but as soon as you turn a corner, it's there, you know? But yeah, it's mostly just insert shots of the legs moving. My favorite moment of that is at the end of the movie when it's like a big showdown between Kelly Maroney and the last robot who's been hiding in a storage closet. Is it the whole movie? And she starts yelling at him like, hey, you big dumb robot. And he speeds up, like insulting the robot makes him angry so he'll go faster. God, it's funny.
It's also just great when they're stalking people and they do insert shots of the little clamp hands.
Yeah, like, click, click,
like, click, excitedly click, clamping.
They're like Zoidbergs with laser eyes.
Yes!
God, it's funny. The setup of this movie is also just perfect for an 80s popcorn late night horror movie.
Now, on its face, it's kind of nonsense. Like, you're just like, okay, so a bunch of teeners are just gonna hang out in the mall, but you remember being a teenager. Any different setting was fun.
Well, it's also specifically that they're hanging out in the furniture store so they can have sex on good beds.
This I do not agree with. It weirds me out. Being in the presentation sheets is weird.
That's the part that's weird?
It's weird.
It's not that there's cameras everywhere.
And there's robots patrolling. And
there's robots
people.
Patrolling. All of your friends are around. Like, there's the Kelly Maroney and the blind date that they've set her up with. His name is, what, Nerdy?
Ferdy.
Ferdy. Okay,
rhymes well, with Nerdy.
Rhymes with Nerdy. I'm sure that was a hard thing for his childhood. They're hanging out.
Protectors. Just... and then the nerd character, we'll call him Ferdy.
These are all placeholder names. That they forgot to fix when they got to set. They're just hanging out watching monster movies on TV. It's like Attack of the Crab People or something. But behind them, 5 feet away, four couples having sex. One of them's married. That's the thing that drives me crazy. One of the couples that has come to the mall for this after-hours party is a married couple who owns a business and probably has their own house, and they can just have sex at home.
Yeah, if you own a business, you should not be having sex in a mall bed.
Have sex in your own business.
It's a car.
You don't, no, don't they have like a shop? Don't they have like a, like they own a mechanic shop?
Yeah, they also have a tow truck. Well, it probably has a backseat.
Oh, you think it's just a tow truck? You think they own the tow truck?
I don't
is the
know.
Business.
They seem so young and hip. I don't feel like they're millionaires.
I don't think so either.
I think it's a truck.
I don't think you have to be have a millionaire to have an apartment.
They have a truck and an 800 number.
Oh, man. Her character's great, though. Was it Linda? Linda and Rick. That's the married couple. Linda's great because, one, she is clearly more mechanically inclined than her husband. I love the back and forth they have where, you know, he gets three tries to get the car going again. And if not, we gotta put in Linda, the ringer, to get the job done.
They're also just atypical slasher characters.
Yeah, they've got their shit together and they're into adulthood.
Yeah, and they're so sensible. They clearly make it toward the end because they're sensible.
She's doing bookkeeping this whole time. Like, she's literally crunching the numbers on how much money they owe the mall. Like, oh man, we've done so much damage. We're going to be in hock to this place for the next 25 years. 100% you're just going to win a settlement. Like, you're going to get paid for what's happening to you here with these kill
robots. That's so true. You'd be like, we're going to make so much money if we make it out of here. These robots are fucking a walking lawsuit.
Right? As soon as the robots start killing people, they hide in the storage room at
which
the
is immediately
center.
Once they go online. The mechanic in the control room, played by Garrett Graham.
Played by Garrett Graham. Phantom of the Paradise is Garrett Graham.
I don't know. He's late to his shift. He's looking at nudie posters. The robot turns on behind him, and then it's like, yeah, immediately.
When the robot goes online and looks around like, anybody else want to join me in fucking this guy up? The best. Like, the robots have an inner monologue that we don't hear. We're just like, is now a good time?
Especially for not having faces, there is a lot of sass.
It's crazy that they didn't give them more dialogue. Like, once they're struck by lightning and their circuit board gets fried and they go evil, they don't have new words to say.
Okay, well, it is the 80s, John. I don't think that they're saying they have AI. They're just saying that
if
they
you're saying that it's sentient and evil.
But they only have four pre-programmed phrases.
Okay, well, I would have gone the extra effort of having some more puns.
But then they would have gone on this diatribe of, like, consumerism and capitalism and, like, we don't want to be a part of this.
Oh, that would have been incredible. Can you imagine the big bad, like, the big dumb villain speech from a robot who talks like this?
No, Quiet Clamp Hands.
No more nice days.
Quiet Clamp Hands, exploding head and then saying, have a nice day is
it's,
cinema.
You're right. It is enough. It is great that they say thank you, have a nice day every time they murder somebody.
Yeah, pretty great. Pretty great. So there's this system that's supposed to protect, you know, employees of the mall, janitors, anybody who's working late. They have like an ID card.
Yeah.
And that's how the first kill of one of the teenagers goes. One of the guys sneaks out to get cigarettes from the machine and a robot comes up and he's like, here's my card. And he's like, nay, nay, kill, kill. Uh-huh. Later, his girlfriend's like, where are you? What happened? Where'd you go? And she finds him, like she trips over his legs like she doesn't see them.
Yeah.
And then he falls out of the shadows and his throat is slit.
Yeah. Yeah,
how
yeah,
did
yeah.
the lasers do that?
Like, we see the robot knock him out. Like, they stun him. He's passed out. And then, yeah, the next thing we know, he's fucking gouged in the throat.
Yeah! Like, did he come with, like, a knife afterwards?
So that's what the clamps are for? The clamps, it goes over to the hardware store, and it gets a little knife, and it comes back, and it finishes the job.
And then, like, sets him up perfectly in the shadows.
He's like, this is gonna be good.
He's waiting around the corner.
This is why it's insane to me that as soon as... Okay, so if there's any fault in the system, if the barcode reader doesn't work, it immediately moves to kill. I guess it's supposed to stun. It's only killing because of
even
lightning.
That is bad, because that's still a liability. Like, yeah. If your 17-year-old mall employee forgot their card, they're
it's
just fucking
happen.
Tased.
The crazy thing is that no one, this isn't like the biggest news story in the world. There should be 8 news vans outside being like, well, it's the first day of the new protector robot here at the mall. Everyone's weirded out by it. How do you feel, sir? Like, none of the business owners would dig this. They don't seem jazzed about it when they're being introduced to them at the beginning. And there's no way there wouldn't be this public outcry. Or either that, or it's just secret. We're not going to tell anybody about these little protector robots, right? Like, is that the idea?
I don't know.
How much crime is happening in the mall after hours? They're making it feel like this is like a casino that people are trying to break into all the time.
Also, the doors they install are like the ship doors on the Prometheus.
The thing that drove me crazy about the movie is that at some point they barricade themselves in the storage room and they're like, oh, the doors are locked until 6 a.m. And they go, they freak out, like, oh God, we'll never get out of here. It's like, just hang out in the fucking storage room till 6 a.m. Like, all you gotta do is hide from it. There's plenty of sequences in the movie where they're in pretty good hiding spots and they're just like, we can't stay here forever.
There is kind of this weird moment where you're anticipating, you know, like a POV from the robot where you realize that they're like predators and they have like infrared.
Oh, heat seeking?
Because you just assume robot, like infrared, they can see body heat. That's the, you know, like the leg up that the robots have on humans. Uh-huh. But Kelly Maroney, at one point, she's like running and hiding and she goes into the pet store.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like hiding under all the snake cases that get knocked over. And then there's snakes and spiders on her as
classic.
A prerequisite when you're trying to hide silently. You have to end up with a spider on you.
Yeah, or a rat or something.
And the robot's like very clearly like looking at her and then looking elsewhere and then looking at her and then looking elsewhere. And you're like, you can't tell that there's a warm body just like stretched out underneath the cages.
He's like, totally normal. We got some bags of dog food, dead body. Yeah, that's probably one of mine. No, everything's good in here.
Yeah, so it's just like, if you just stand still, they can't see you?
Yeah, it's Jurassic Park rules.
So, like, in the mall, they could just, like, stop moving.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's crazy that there's no... We don't learn enough about these. They're just going haywire, Kim. Why do you gotta throw so much sense into this?
I'm just saying. It seems like unfinished tech if they can't have infrared. Because then basically, if you wanted to rob the mall, you could just be like one of the ghosts in Mario. Every time the robot turns to look at you, you just stop moving.
Okay, yeah, and if, you know, unfortunately, if you do move, you either get your head blown off or you you get engulfed in flames.
Setbacks of the job, really.
Yeah, really, yeah. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, fear. And that's exactly what I wanted feeling. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. So skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. I'm on their website right now. I'm just looking up, I just went to the search bar, typed in spooky. Because, like, honestly, if I'm looking for gifts for Kim, that's pretty much what I'm typing in wherever I'm shopping for. Okay. So I see a spider candle and holder, which actually looks pretty rad. A murder mystery puzzle box, which I think last time she was on here, she was talking about how much she loves murder mysteries. Oh, okay, cool. Okay, wait, hold on. We got this right here. We got a horror movie buff gift set, which looks like it includes the Death for Dinner horror movie cookbook, a horror movie locations puzzle, and something called a horror oracle, which I think... Let's give this a look. Let's see here. The horror oracle looks like... Okay. So it's almost like a tarot deck. It's got 50 cards, helps you figure out what you want to watch if you're trying to find a movie. Just like, oh, we're going to pull a couple cards. You were watching a monster movie with teens in a cabin. Probably Cabin in the Woods. I got something like that at home right now, actually. It's like a set of dice that I roll to try and figure out what to make for dinner. This looks like a perfect idea. I don't know about you, but I spend way too much time scrolling through Netflix trying to figure out what I want to watch for the night. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit of your choice. And they've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/nightmare. That's uncommongoods.com/nightmare for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Two of my favorite ways to die in a horror movie in one movie. You don't always get both. I get an exploding head and a full body burn. It's real sad, though. It is Barbara Crampton. It's a big bummer.
It's a bummer.
And everybody reacts to it. Everybody watches it happen.
And she's screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
There's one moment where, like, the stunt performer who is... wearing the Barbara Crampton wig.
It's a 40-year-old man.
Is just lying on the ground, not moving, but the audio still has Barbara Crampton screams over it, and you're like, this is hard. This is hard on my feelings right now.
I know. It's like a B-movie. Like, I've had maybe four beers at this point if I'm seeing it in the theater, like in an Alamo draft house, and now I gotta be sad? Don't do this
But
to
then
me.
The robots are like, remember, we do shoot lasers. And you're
thank
like,
you.
Thank
Have
you.
A nice
this
day.
This is good. This is fine.
Man, I love... the exploding head in this movie. It's great. It's one of the ones where I've watched it a couple times and I've just gone frame by frame, which is the best thing to do with an exploding head, right? Because at one point...
It's very committed.
Yeah, but it's fun because at one point you see it turn to a plaster head and you're like, oh, here we go. And then just slowly... It's the best.
Yeah, and it is nice too afterwards, like, because everybody's watching from inside the furniture store and they're like, holy fuck. And
this is the first kill they all see.
Yeah, and blood gets like splattered on the windows. It's great. But then afterwards, her body is just like crumpled on the floor, and then there's just a wig. There's no head, there's just hair. Hair on the ground.
Oh, man. You know, the best part about exploding heads is that when you do interviews, not that I've interviewed anybody that's done an exploding head, but like when you read interviews about how they make the special effect, a lot of times they just use a shotgun. They do not do that anymore, but they just blow up a fake head with a shotgun.
Filled with jam.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I'm always curious, like, what's inside there? What are they, because it looks great most of the time. Like, love an exploding head, but I want to know what they put inside the head to make it look like you're exploding.
It's
just stuff from the craft service table. Like every time they're just like, yeah, we just grab snacks, like anything that had a good color, and we tossed in some fake blood and stuff. It's just anything. Sometimes they use Cheetos, sometimes they use like raw meat, you know, like in Videodrome, which turned out to be a huge fucking mistake. It was disgusting. But more often than not, it's just snacks.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Heads are just a bunch of garbage.
Heads are just a bunch of garbage. And we're just garbage people. And that's why we like garbage movies like Chopping Mall. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. So yeah, one or two people are left at the end because it's a slasher movie and we're picking people off.
Yeah. Man, they do Linda and Rick wrong.
They die so quickly.
Yeah.
I feel like they got to the end and they're like, we can't have four.
Yeah.
In my head, Linda and Rick have the final girl energy.
Yeah.
But it's because Ferdy and Allison were the only ones in their group not having sex.
You think so?
They made out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it was just that.
But it's the cardinal horror sin, John.
Yeah.
They're the, like, the virginal final girl-esque duo. you know, one point we think we lose Ferdy because he hits his head and there's a little bit of blood.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh no.
But he comes back at the end and just be like, great shot.
Good work.
Yeah, you did it. I definitely didn't hide out like a little baby and wait for it all to end. One of my other favorite, man, there's so many good kills in this movie. One of my other favorites is when, what's his name? Barbara Crampton's boyfriend, Greg. When Greg, because he's all mad that his girlfriend's dead, so he's got, like, a death wish at this point. Like, he just, it doesn't matter if he goes down as long as he takes the robot down with him. And he gets too close and the robot.
Young love.
Yeah, the robot just grabs him with his claw hand and just tosses him off the fucking railing. Because it's a giant mall, so he falls down a couple stories, breaks his neck, and that's the end of Greg.
This mall is used in a lot of horror movies, right? I feel like it's the Eric's Revenge Mall.
Oh, I think you might be right. I know it's definitely the Fast Times at Ridgemont High Mall.
Yeah, just the elevator is just such a memorable elevator.
It's a memorable elevator.
I really love mall horror movies. They're such a slice of nostalgia that you didn't know was going to be nostalgia at the time.
Yeah.
Like, mall culture felt like it was forever. Like, this was just teenagers shopping, malls, food courts. Like, I feel sad for teenagers nowadays that malls aren't a thing anymore.
You know,
how do you meet teenagers you don't go to school with?
I mean, me too, but I think it's like a nostalgic thing because I never hung out at the mall.
I hung out at the mall.
Yeah? Yeah. Was it fun?
No.
And you feel sad that the teens nowadays don't have it?
But just, I don't know, wasting time and looking at posters, and you only had $20, so you couldn't buy a lot of the shit that you tried on, but you tried it on anyways.
Kim misses window shopping in real clothes instead of just window shopping in your pajamas on your cell phone.
I don't know. It was fun.
I mean, the way you talk about the mall is the way I feel about, like, Blockbuster or, like, you know, your mom, pop. Local video store. Yeah. I miss walking around video stores.
Yeah, I miss that.
Looking at posters.
Too. I miss that too.
Having only $20 to rent 18 movies.
Or like $20, but you're going to see a movie halfway through, so you don't want to buy anything, so you can get the movie ticket.
Yeah. Okay, so while we were talking, I looked up the mall. It's the Sherman Oaks Galleria. And you're right. They did use it for Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, and a million other movies, right? Like, apparently it's also the mall that they use for Terminator 2, Night of the Comet, Commando.
Oh, wow. So Kelly Maroney just set up shop in that mall then.
Basically. She probably lived close by, and she's like, yeah, I'll take that part. Let's go. I can walk to set. Also, Innerspace. Innerspace is a great mall sequence where Martin Short's getting chased by that other robot. Okay, it's the time. The 80s loved a robot.
So, particularly with movies like Dawn of the Dead, you know, horror critics retroactively really like to put, like, a capitalism spin
sure.
on everything. I think it's hard with Chopping Mall because it's just such a fun, cheesy slasher.
Uh-huh.
You say slasher even though it's robots.
I know.
Robots with lasers.
What else do you call it?
Yeah.
It's that weird subgenre of killer robot movies.
Do you think there's any thematics to the setting, or you think they're like, oh, no, robot security guards in a mall. That's fucking hilarious.
I think if you ask the writer or director, absolutely. Absolutely. They're just like, yeah, no, of course. We were really concerned about consumerism and about how, you know, greed was the overall goal and that everybody was expendable, you know, against the American dollar. But no, I think it's just a fun movie. I think it's a great setting, and it was probably logistically easy. Like, we shoot in a mall overnight. We don't really have to do too much as long as the mall's back in good shape by the time it has to open in the morning.
That's true. That is a good seller for setting something in a mall because it's an expansive location, but it is one location.
Yeah.
And it's closed a significant portion of the day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Nighttime. But I think if anything, if it's commenting on anything, it's probably, you know, that period where computers were starting to be like added to your everyday life. Like, everybody's lives were changing in the corporate world because everybody was going from typewriters to computers.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Was that period, and there is kind of a fear of the tech and the security. So I think there's something there with, like, oh, we're going full steam ahead. We're just going straight to robots.
Yeah, we're letting robots make decisions that we used to let humans make. There's no discretion with the robot. It's either kill or neutralize. based on a barcode. And yeah, like, we're still facing that now, where we're just like, are we really letting AI decide where to send missiles? Shit like that. Like,
yeah, like,
constantly.
We got AI a year ago, and now every single company ever is like, hey, use AI to caption your Facebook post. And you're like, get out of here.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What is going on?
There was somebody recently who did a test where they let AI make every decision for them for a solid week, including, like, what to eat, what to wear, where to go for a family vacation, and the ultimate takeaway was that it was kind of boring. Like, it was very bland, middle of the road.
Because isn't that what AI is doing? It's a series of averages and predictive nature. So it's just like, what is the most obvious next choice?
AI will make you a basic bitch. Or, unfortunately, if lightning strikes it in the wrong way, or if somebody spills ketchup or a beer on it, it'll murder you and your whole family.
Yeah, so is there anything that causes the robots to be evil?
Lightning. It's lightning. Lightning strikes them all, and then, like, it fries their circuit board. It's just that they got, like, an overdose of electricity, and it fucked them up.
Oh.
And then it's kind of like...
So they got head trauma.
They got head... That's... Guys, I've said it a million times. Be careful out there. Don't get into any sort of car accident or fall off a ladder. You want to protect... We should all be, honestly, walking around wearing helmets 24/7. I am terrified of it.
We just watched that wrestling documentary about all of, like, the wrestlers having head trauma and then killing their families. So it's fresh in John's mind. He's very passionate about it.
I think about it
right
constantly.
Now.
I'm just saying, so many times where you see people that, like, turn to serial killers or turn to just, like, bad husbands, where
they had 26 concussions.
Yeah.
When they were 17 years old. Like, so their brain was growing and they fucking let it bleed a lot.
Turns out not good. You will turn into a killer robot in a human body. I'm trying to segue back to the movie. Forgive me. But, Kim. I assume you're a big fan of Chopping Mall.
Absolutely.
What's your rating of Chopping Mall?
It's 4 out of 4.
It's a fucking 4 out of 4,
it's
right?
So fun.
I mean, surprise, surprise. This month, we picked movies that we love because we only picked movies we love for the book we wrote. Everything's a 4 out of 4.
It was an easy month, really.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, what a breeze this has been.
I know. It's been easy. It's been easy to think about. It's been easy to plan. It's been easy to talk about. It's been easy to record. I guarantee this is going to be real easy to edit. You want to tell everybody about the cocktail that we cooked up for Chopping Mall?
I mean, I'm going to tell them about the garnish because it's got lasers.
That's right, motherfuckers.
So it's a neon blue drink because it's a total 80s, 90s mall color, like that light turquoise blue. And then 2 pink glow sticks. You can use them for stirrers, but we're calling them lasers.
That's right. Yeah, no, we call it the Killbot Kamikaze. It's a bit of a twist on the Kamikaze. You know, it's got vodka, it's got Hypnotic, triple sec, lime. It's fucking delicious.
Now, Hypnotic is a bit of a twist of an ingredient. We do have substitutions in the book if you don't have it because it's this cognac-based liquor from, I think they make it in Montreal, but it's like the perfect, like, light blue color.
It's so delicious.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, you could sub it out with blue Curacao. That's everywhere.
Yeah. The flavor's not, we did both, and the flavor's not as good. But yeah, sometimes Hypnotic is not available in areas. It wasn't available where we live. We had to drive back to Ontario to buy it.
Yeah, but Manitoba just doesn't have a great liquor store in general.
Nah, nah.
We don't have a lot of stuff.
No, it turns out there was a lot of stuff we had to ship in from other provinces or drive to the States to get, which was a bit of a nightmare. Have we talked about the fact that when we started writing this book, the liquor control board here in this province went on strike?
As soon as we signed the deal for the book and they were like, okay, here are all your deadlines and no liquor.
No liquor. Everything was closed. We were just like, what the fuck do we do? Like, we literally had to drive 4 hours to go to another province to an LCB, they call it the LCBO, it's the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, to buy what wasn't sold out. Like, everybody was panicking.
Yeah, so I guess we should kind of explain, like, alcohol in Canada, most of the provinces is controlled by the government, so we can't just, like, go to the... Some provinces, you can, if they've been changing it a little bit, you can go to the grocery store and get beer and stuff, but when the liquor control board goes on strike, like they did in Manitoba, you can't get liquor. You could maybe get wine at the wine store, but you cannot get liquor.
it's a completely different system than you have in the United States.
Like Bailey's, like even Bailey's.
Yeah.
8% happy little morning Bailey's.
Something like this could never happen in most of the states, right? Because like, if there was ever any sort of strike or any sort of distribution chain problem, you'd just go to the gas station and buy a fifth of vodka. Like you'd have no problem.
Liquor is weird in Canada anyways, because like if it's a holiday, you just can't get alcohol. Like, if it's a holiday Monday, no alcohol for you.
Yeah.
If it's a Sunday, try getting alcohol after 7 p.m. You cannot.
Yeah, it's not quite like being in a dry county, but there are a lot of weird rules, and every province is
different. No, because you could go to a bar and get a beer until 2 a.m., but if you wanted to buy some, like, no.
Yeah, the other thing you can do here in Manitoba, we're going to get back to the book in a second. The other weird thing you can do here in Manitoba is at last call in a bar, after all of the government-controlled liquor stores are closed, you can order one
Roadies!
Last drink, and then you can be like, oh, and also give me a case of beer. I'll take that home with me.
Yeah,
please.
But you have to pay their, like, $7 per beer price for them.
No, because they're attached. Like, you can just walk to the other side.
So if they have a beer store attached.
Yeah, most of them do.
Okay.
This is a weird province. And I think Alberta's also the same way, but they're also a little more privatized. Anyway,
weird country rules.
It was a roller coaster putting this book together, and this was a cocktail that we had planned. We were like, oh, it's gonna have some kitschy colors, it's gonna have some laser beams, we are missing a key ingredient. And then once we got it and started playing around with it, it's just like so crushable, so watch out for that, because you could down this like it's a glass of 7-Up. It's delicious.
It definitely looks like it's something that you could get at a mall kiosk.
Yeah.
If it wasn't filled with alcohol.
It does not look alcoholic. It looks like a punch that you would get out of one of those things that's like constantly spinning the juice around in the cafeteria.
That they've never cleaned.
Never. And that's what makes it taste so good.
Gross.
You know what I'm talking about. There was that peach drink we used to get all the time, and then they changed the recipe or they cleaned the machine and then it was never good again.
It's because it was like one cup of juice was 2 cups of sugar.
God. Yeah,
that's physically impossible.
We peaked at 1986, back when we could have sugar without any repercussions because we didn't get diagnosed with diabetes yet.
There was zero fruits in that juice, but it was so good.
And so, okay, so for the Killbot Kamikaze, this was a really fun photo to put together, because we basically tried to recreate a scene in the movie, or like recreate a scene in a mall. It's the cafeteria. Like, we've got our drink next to our little tray with a burger and fries, and we've got our shopping bag, which of course has got a little tear at the bottom of it. So instead of a giant head coming out, we got a whole bunch of VHS tapes. And yeah, it just looks like, it honestly looks like you just sat down to have lunch with your alcoholic drink at the mall, and then some fucking robots came ripping in and you had to run and flee. It was really fun to put together. We for lunch that day with our photographer, we went out and got burgers for everybody. We got an extra burger for the photo, which, do not worry, we ate right afterwards.
It was cold.
I still ate it. They asked me to take a bite out of it to make the photo look more fun, and I was like, I will happily take a bite of that burger for you.
We have photos of you taking the bite over the set.
I've never looked so happy in my life. Yeah, no, this is easily one of my favorite drinks in the book. I mean, I've said that a couple times. I warned you at the beginning of the month that I would say that almost every week. But yeah, this one's absolutely delicious. It was really fun to put together, and I cannot wait for you guys to try it.
Based on when this is coming out, I guess we don't have to say pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt. You can get Cocktails from the Crypt wherever books are sold. One of our catch-all links, nofspodcast.com/go. We have all of the different spots there. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Anywhere that it's distributed by Macmillan. So anywhere that you're getting cool books, you'll be able to get Cocktails from the Crypt.
Yeah, hit up your local bookstore. And if they don't have it, be like, yo, guys, why don't you have Cocktails from the Crypt? It's the best book ever. You should get 30 copies.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, we always love making fun drinks when we're hosting parties with our friends. And, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, when we're planning on having people come over, we know exactly what movie we're going to put on. And it's always nice when you can sort of theme everything around that. And that's exactly what this book's for. It's your how-to guide to turn every night into the absolute best party night for you and your weird horror friends.
This has been such a fun month. We should just do movies that we 4 out of 4 every month.
Yeah. I mean, we almost do. It's kind of a surprise sometimes when it's less than 3 out of 4. You're like, this was a mistake. I'm real sorry. Next week we'll do better. the problem is you can't beat Chopping Mall. It's fucking incredible. It's one of the best popcorn movies ever made. And yeah, this has been a real fun month. We're going to be back again soon, talking about our favorite horror movies of 2024. Always one of the most stressful episodes to put together. But yes, as we've said 100 times, Cocktails from the Crypt is available now, wherever you get your books. We want to thank everybody that pre-ordered the book, everybody that's going out and getting their own copy, everybody that's getting a copy for all their cool family members and friends for Christmas. This is a great gift, if you ask me, but I'm super biased about that.
Yeah, thank you so much for pre-ordering. We've seen so many people online sharing that they've grabbed copies, and it's just so cool because we have kept this secret for so long. We're just so excited to share it with people and for people to finally see all of the cocktails and the photos. I'm so proud of the photos.
Oh, yeah. That's going to do it for us this week. We're going to be back again soon. And until next time, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save